Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, and this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. HealthLink On Air is brought to you each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. Well, this is the time of heart things. From Go Red for Women, recognition of women's heart health this past week, then Valentine's Day coming up next Saturday. Seems like an obvious choice for a guest this morning would be Dr. Robert Carhart, cardiologist with University Hospital and SUNY Upstate. And yes, we were able to convince him to stop by. Good morning, Dr. Carhart.
Good morning.
We're always happy to have you here. You always inform us. We appreciate that. And I found a report this week about heart health and winter. And while it seemed that some of the information was kind of logical, some of it just really surprised me. So if it's okay with you, let's talk about heart and winter. What's so different?
Well, the difference is actually the conditions and the weather. The cold is really makes a huge difference. And in, you know, we can take this to any season if you'd like, but winter is especially important because people don't necessarily always pay attention. I like to tell my patients the old adage of making sure that you wear a scarf when you go out in the cold is very important.
And why? I mean, that was what I read that was just kind of like, that's so simple, but why is it important?
It's so simple, but if you look outside on a very cold day, you won't see very many people covering their nose and their mouth. And it really has to do with the temperature of the air. When you breathe in cold air, that usually causes the blood vessels in your chest, especially in your lungs, to constrict.
Uh-huh.
And when that occurs, you actually increase the amount of work the heart has to do to move blood around.
So what you're telling me, excuse me if I understand correctly, the breathing in the cold air is, it's just like your fingers kind of constrict or anything else when you're outdoors, it gets cold. So then the heart isn't pumping, or it's, so the heart is having to work too hard.
The heart has to work harder.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if you couple that with simple exercise, and it doesn't necessarily have to be shoveling heavy snow, but even just anything, including walking, you're, in a sense, almost doubling the amount of effort the heart has to do.
Well, I guess what my question is then, it is not just so simple as wearing a scarf. A scarf you put around your neck or you put over your head, you're talking about putting it over the air you breathe to warm up the air you breathe?
Absolutely. You want to try to warm up the air coming in such that it's not going to cause as much in terms of vascular constriction within the chest. And again, it's simple energy requirements of the heart. The harder the heart has to work, the more oxygen that muscle requires. If you have narrowings in your blood vessels, you can't get enough oxygen to that heart muscle.
So is it something then we have to be aware of in terms of other parts of our body? I mean, if your hands get cold, does it have the same effect, or your ears, for instance?
Well, for your hands, for your ears, because they are more distal and they tend not to
distal meaning
farther away.
Okay.
More distant from the heart,
right,
in this case. They don't necessarily increase the workload the heart has to do as much.
Okay.
I mean, certainly when your hands get cold and those blood vessels constrict down, if you have a problem, for example, with your heart muscle not being strong, you may actually be more susceptible to developing problems with colds in your fingertips.
Uh-huh.
In addition, to kind of take that the next step, many of the medications we use for heart patients cause your blood vessels to dilate. When that occurs, you don't have the natural protection that you would normally have. So if you're on a medication that causes your blood vessels to dilate, you go out in the cold without gloves on, you're going to be much more prone to having cold-related injury to that hand, for example, because your blood vessels can't constrict down as much.
All right. Now, let's talk about somebody who's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm taking my logic, and my logic could be very flawed, that's why you're here. If I take the logic and I think about, say, aerobic exercise, well, then does it have the same effect? I have a healthy heart. I go out in the cold. My blood vessels constrict, but it's making my heart work harder. Is that good for my heart?
Well, it's good for your heart to some extent, but you have to take that into account. The distance, for example, if you are a jogger, the distance that you could jog in the warm weather is probably going to be farther than the distance you can jog in the cold weather, again, because you're adding to the workload that has to be done.
Can jog or should jog? Those are two different things.
Well, jogging on an icy day when the sidewalks aren't cleaned is a different issue.
Well, but that's true.
No, you can, you probably can overcome it if you have a healthy heart, but recognizing the fact that your exercise tolerance is going to be limited to some extent because you have a little bit of an added burden, if you will, or handicap to the heart.
Wow.
Because it has to compensate for those constricted blood vessels.
Well, you know, when I first read this, it was kind of, well, you know, hearts are more challenged in the winter. And I thought, well, sure, because we go out and we try to shovel the snow. And for those of us who were past a certain age, that's probably not such a great idea if we're not used to getting that kind of exercise. But this is really more than that. So the statistic I read was that more than 50% of heart attacks happen in January and December. And I thought, wow, those 2 months of the year, is that all about heart attacks from shoveling snow? But you've answered part of that question. But is a heart attack from shoveling snow, is it just because of the cold, or is it also that extra aerobic exercise that goes with it?
Well, it's a little bit of everything. I mean, you know, most people, when they go out to shovel snow, don't prepare themselves. They don't warm up properly. So it's a sense, kind of a rapid, quick stress on the heart. It's almost a shock, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, when you're looking at that white fluffy stuff, you don't think it weighs a lot.
No, that's true.
And, you know, if you're pushing it around and just kind of doing this, one of the bigger problems, for example, are snowblowers now. Most of them are self-propelled. Most people don't think of that as any type of exertion. They're just walking behind it, just
sure.
like a self-propelled lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is, when you're out mowing your lawn and it's 72 degrees out, there isn't that additional burden on the heart. The blood vessels are at their normal state, if you will.
Uh-huh.
If it's 2 below 0 and you're outside, your heart is working harder, even though your perception is, I'm not really exerting myself. I don't feel my muscles really straining.
Yeah, you're not aware of how you're exerting it. Is this true for men and for women?
Absolutely. And it really, again, it's related to just, to some extent, body surface. You know, the more blood vessels that constrict down, the more resistance to the heart. But it's common for everybody. I mean, whoever is breathing in cold air is going to have the same physiologic effect.
And I know, too, this week when I was listening to the information about the differences between men and women, also race was brought up. You know, are there some differences within races on how the heart would react to these kinds of things? But I'm kind of hearing maybe no.
Not to some extent. I mean, I think it's more what you're used to, if you will, and your systems, how they adapt. I mean, most people talk about the fact that, you know, when they go on vacation and if they go to a different climate, it takes them a couple of days to adapt to either the heat or the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is just your body trying to adjust how it reacts to the environment.
Acclimating to it. All right. Well, you just raised a good question. So now I've been living in the Northeast in upstate New York and central cold New York, and I decide to go to Florida for a few days. Does my body have to adjust to that then because it's so different?
Well, you have to take different precautions in the warm weather than you do in the cold weather.
And I mean, so this would be advice maybe for in the summer as well.
Absolutely. I mean, again, if we go back to patients who are heart patients, some of it is related to medications. You can much easier get dehydrated, I mean, if my English is correct here.
Uh-huh.
If you're in the warm weather and you're taking a diuretic, for example, or a medication that causes you to lose excess water,
mm-hmm.
if you're not keeping up on your fluids and perspiring as along with that diuretic, you may more rapidly become dehydrated. Same thing that occurs with some of these medications, again, dilating your blood vessels. That's the body's normal way of compensating for the heat. You may have a little less tolerance to those changes in temperatures because your blood vessels can't constrict and expand the way that they normally would exposed to environmental extremes.
What all this suggests to me is that patients really need to know when they're taking these various drugs, or if they've been diagnosed with heart disease, or even if heart disease is in their family, they really need to know how to manage their lives, how their lives need to change when they start taking some of these drugs. And I'm not so sure that that always happens. I'm not so sure that every time a cardiologist or even a family practice doctor says, you know, why don't you start taking these statin drugs and this is how it needs to affect your daily approach to life. I don't think that conversation always happens.
Well, and you're correct. I mean, a lot of times those things don't come up. I mean, you try to hit, you know, if you're on a limited time, you're visiting with your doctor for a couple of minutes,
mm-hmm.
he says, start drug X.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to really go through all of the things that you need to cover would take a much longer time. And, you know, there is this belief, if you will, that when you go to the drugstore and the pharmacist hands you this 3-page printed
right.
description of your medication, that you're going to sit down, read it at length, formulate questions, and then, you know, somehow figure out the answers to them. And that doesn't always happen. And many times the best thing to do is to ask questions.
But people, sometimes I've got to think you don't even know the questions to ask. If you prescribed a drug for me and I had heart problems, I would never say to you, oh, well, then should I start wearing a scarf in the winter? It wouldn't even occur to me. So how can patients get this information?
Well, I think that some of it is just by word of mouth, if you will, you know, talking to other people who have the same problem.
Or listening to the radio.
Or listening to the radio, listening to your show every Sunday.
There you go.
But the issue of the scarf, I think, for example, mm-hmm. is a piece of information that most people should pay attention to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it actually does raise that whole question of the patient's responsibility in the midst of getting care for him or herself. You work with your doctor, but your doctor doesn't even think to tell you everything, could not possibly tell you everything. A lot of this you have to discover for yourself, don't you?
Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Robert Carhart, once again, you have been full of information for us, and this time very practical and useful information. Thanks so much for coming by this morning.
No problem.
And stay warm, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and listeners, we'll be back after a quick break. Please stay with us. This is University Hospital's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.